right, Free for All Friday. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you are with us. LSU, Alabama, and that brings us to a time when we start talking about the truth about Alabama and the difference between LSU and Alabama. We'll get into this more in the next hour. But for example, what's the only good thing to come out of Alabama? The answer, I-10. What do you call 23 John Deere tractors at a Dairy Queen on the University of Alabama campus? That's prom night. All right, I'm Scoot on the air. Yeah, it is Free for All Friday. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Big rivalry. And so Governor Landry wants to bring a Tiger into Tiger Stadium. There are people who are saying that that's just kind of cruel, and I think they tried this once and the Tiger didn't like it. Jeff Landry wants to do it. I don't know. I think we should maybe pay attention to what the Tiger wants. I mean, I'm not some animal rights activist, but I am an active animal lover. I will tell you that. And it just seems to me that it's an unnecessary show of I don't know, machismo or whatever you want to call it. So it doesn't seem like it's necessary. You know, the bulldog that they bring out, you know, at University of Georgia football games, the bulldog, the longhorn that they bring out at the University of Texas, things like that. You know, those animals don't seem to be too bothered by it. But a tiger being brought out with all of the crowd there in a cage. I mean, I wonder if animals just like I wonder if, you know, they have memory from their ancestors. And I mean, being in a cage in a big arena like that, it could bring them back to the, you know, times when the, you know, the lions and tigers were, you know, eating the Christians. I don't know. I'm not a tiger, so I can't speak from firsthand experience. When we began the show, I saw this driving in today. And even though a lot of cool women drive Jeeps, I think a Jeep is generally a masculine vehicle. And that's not an insult to any women who drive Jeeps. But I wonder why they have the line of plastic ducks along the windshield. It seems like such a, I don't know, sissified thing to do for a Jeep, these little plastic play ducks along the windshield. Well, apparently it's a way of showing camaraderie. We got some text on this, and if you see somebody in a Jeep, I guess you keep some plastic ducks with you, and you put that on a Jeep, and I guess the people that have the most plastic ducks are the most popular. And then apparently there's some Jeep wave. You know, everybody that drives a Jeep, when they pass each other, they give a certain wave. You know, I guess there are some people who buy certain vehicles and they feel like they have this common bond with somebody just because they drive the other vehicle that's identical. Man, I don't think I have anything in common with the people that drive the car that I drive. So, you know, I'm not doing any plastic ducks or any special waves or anything like that. We do have something serious to get to, and we will talk more about this next week, but I just want to at least introduce it this afternoon. There are some alarming things that could happen concerning President Donald Trump and the FCC, concerning the media. Donald Trump has talked about retaliating against the media, retaliating against those who disagree with him. Do you have any idea how dangerous this is? And when I say dangerous, I mean dangerous for Trump supporters as well. For those of you who disagree with me, the idea of somehow suppressing disagreeing opinions is such a threat to basic American freedom that I don't think you realize how serious this is. And there will be challenges. There's also the Supreme Court. But the Supreme Court is dominated by conservative justices now. But the idea that our government, through a government agency, controls messages in the media, controls what the media says, is the most frightening threat to our freedom that I can think of in my lifetime. So we'll talk a little bit about that this afternoon. If you're on hold, just hang on. I'm going to get to your calls. We've got some text to get to as well. So it's been called like really one of the most stunning political comebacks of all time. So how did Donald Trump do it?
A lot has changed since Donald Trump's election defeat in 2020, which triggered a crisis in democracy and the storming of the U.S. Capitol. Pundits are crediting Donald Trump with a savvier campaign organization, a firm grip on his political base, and sheer force of will with changing his political fortune. Trump and his team were able to seize on widespread discontent over the direction of the country, inflamed by stubborn inflation. He directed his message to a new generation, making strong use of podcasts and social media, telling those who feel forgotten that he shared their disdain for the status quo. I'm Jackie Quinn.
And Donald Trump has announced a history-making selection for his first chief of staff.
President-elect Donald Trump has named Susie Wiles as his White House chief of staff. Wiles was Trump's campaign manager and is widely credited within and outside Trump's inner circle for running a disciplined and well-executed campaign. Wiles is a longtime Florida-based Republican strategist who ran Trump's campaigns in Florida in 2016 and 2020. Before that, she ran Rick Scott's 2010 campaign for Florida governor. Wiles will be the first ever female chief of staff in U.S. history. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
And television viewership continues to fall at an accelerated rate, and election night was no exception.
Now, this may sound like a lot of people. About 42 million people watched on TV election night, says the Nielsen Company, as the returns poured in the Trump-Harris battle. But that's down sharply from the almost 57 million who watched in 2020, when Donald Trump and Joe Biden duked it out. Far more than that tuned in on election night in 2016, 71 million. So does this mean that Americans care less and less about the election? Not necessarily. Television viewership in general has slipped over the past decade, with people cutting cable and satellite subscriptions, so it's hard to know how much this downturn reflects people turning elsewhere for news that night or simply being less interested in following the results. I'm Rita Foley.
The most populous state in America is fortifying their government ahead of Trump's move into the White House.
California Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom is calling for state lawmakers to convene a special session ahead of another Trump presidency. Newsom is a fierce critic of the former president and wants to safeguard the state's progressive policies. Newsom's office tells the Associated Press that the governor and lawmakers are ready to, quote, Trump-proof California's state laws. The governor is calling on the legislature to meet in December and give the Attorney General's office more funding to fight federal challenges. Trump often depicts California as representing all he sees wrong in America. I'm Mike Hempen.
All right, even before Trump takes office, there's some bad news for families with mixed immigration status.
A federal judge has struck down a Biden administration program that allowed undocumented spouses and stepchildren of U.S. citizens to apply for a green card without first having to leave the country. U.S. District Judge J. Campbell Barker ruled Thursday that the Biden administration overstepped its authority by implementing the Keeping Families Together program and had stretched the legal interpretation of relevant immigration law, quote, past its breaking point, end quote. Barker had put the program on hold in August, days after applicants had filed their paperwork, and Republican attorneys general from 15 other states filed a legal challenge, accusing the Biden administration of bypassing Congress. During Trump's first term, he appointed Barker as a judge in Tyler, Texas. I'm Donna Water.
The Department of Justice has unsealed criminal charges in a thwarted Iranian plot to kill Donald Trump.
A criminal complaint filed in federal court in New York City says an unnamed leader in Iran's Revolutionary Guard instructed a contact to put together a plan last month to track and ultimately assassinate Donald Trump. The contact's been identified as Farzad Shakari, who was told if he couldn't develop a plot by then, the Iranian official would wait until after the election, thinking it would be easier to reach Trump then if he had lost. Federal officials have been describing ongoing efforts by Iran to target U.S. government officials, including Trump, on U.S. soil. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Rudy, Rudy, Rudy. Dude, you just don't friggin' get it. The former New York mayor, former Trump attorney, who was part of that ill-fated attempt to claim the 2020 election was stolen, is being ordered again to turn over his assets.
In New York, Rudy Giuliani is being ordered to quickly turn over prized assets as part of a $148 million defamation judgment. In 2020, Giuliani falsely accused Georgia poll workers Ruby Freeman and daughter Shea Moss of ballot fraud.
I didn't commit a crime. Nobody's been investigated for 20 years and you can't find a crime. I don't commit crimes.
The women say they face death threats after Giuliani accused them of sneaking in ballots in suitcases, counting ballots multiple times, and tampering with voting machines. Giuliani says this is similar to President-elect Donald Trump's legal issues.
They were all political trials, and a political verdict has been rendered, and very decisively, that was all a bunch of political harassment. Well, so is my case.
Giuliani is being ordered to turn over his $5 million Upper East Side apartment, luxury watches, and a shirt signed by New York Yankees legend Joe DiMaggio. I'm Ed Donahue.
You know, they're going to make him turn this stuff over. I mean, Rudy Giuliani, that poor, pathetic SOB. I mean, he's just a pathetic human being. You know, he was the mayor of the world. He was the mayor of America after 9/11, and he just has digressed into just a pathetic, disgusting human being. And he'll have to turn this stuff over. I mean, he can delay, but he's going to have to give it up. It's interesting that that $6 million penthouse in New York is now being valued at like $5 million. And I guess it was devalued because people knew that Rudy Giuliani once owned it. The most popular books in this country right now are all tied to the current political landscape.
The top seller on Amazon's bestseller list as of Thursday is Melania, the memoir by former and future First Lady Melania Trump, Vice President-elect J.D. Vance's Hillbilly Elegy, and Timothy Snyder's On Tyranny, a bestseller from Trump's previous time in office, are both in the top 10. Donald Trump's photo book, Save America, as well as dystopian fiction like The Handmaid's Tale, 1984, and Fahrenheit 451 are in the top 40. Shannon DeVito of Barnes & Noble says after the election, books leaning both right and left politically rocketed up its charts. That includes Melania, On Tyranny, and War by Bob Woodward, as well as a massive bump for The Handmaid's Tale in 1984. I'm Archie Zaralletta.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get to some of your calls. And I do just need to start the conversation about the possibility of Trump infringing on the freedom of speech that we have in the media. I'm Scoot on the Air. It's Free for All Friday, so please just hang on. I promise we're coming right back with your calls, and we've got a lot of text to get to this afternoon. Very busy Friday afternoon, but we're heading into the weekend. I'm Scoot on the Air. We'll be right back on WWL. Yeah, we got to be positive no matter who you voted for. If you voted for a candidate that did not win, if you're a Harris supporter and she didn't win, you know, you got to keep your head up. But there's some things that we need to watch out for. Joe Rogan agrees with me that Donald Trump should not attack people who disagree with him opinion-wise, and he should let people talk their SH, asterisk, asterisk. Let people talk their stuff. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Let me get to some of your calls. Let's go to the Gulf Coast. Tom, you're on WWL. Thanks for hanging on, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Most of the time, I know we talked a little bit before it came on, but what I was curious is when you were on, I don't think you were there. I think it was Ian, maybe.
Yeah, and I didn't talk to you.
Yeah, no. I'm talking about last week when he was on the radio.
Oh, okay.
Off, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. But he said something that struck me, and I was like, well, that's how, where did he get the information on this? That he said, and these are his words, not mine. He said that Donald Trump caused a lot of people, or he is responsible for a lot of deaths of COVID-19. And I said, well, I wonder where they got that information from. So that's what I was just curious. Where is that information that said Donald Trump caused people to die from COVID-19?
Well, I'm going to let
clarify it.
Okay, well, let's let Ian answer that. You know, a lot of people came to that conclusion from the information that was based on the information that came out, and they based that conclusion on information. It might not have been written per se, but that was a conclusion that people came to.
This is a conclusion a lot of people came to.
This isn't something
I was pulled out of thin air, and it's not that there's just like one article or one TV show that said this. And, I mean, there's a lot of ground to cover here. I mean, back in February, we know that Donald Trump was having a private conversation with Bob Woodward, in which he told Bob Woodward, this thing is coming, it's really bad, it's deadlier than the flu, there's going to be a lot of death. And then he comes out to America in public and says, it's all going to magically go away. It's just like the seasonal flu, baby. It'll affect virtually nobody. I don't want to do the testing. Slow down the testing, please, because I don't want America to have an increasing number of COVID cases, because that reflects poorly on him. He criticized his own public health staff by saying, you know, you got to liberate Minnesota, liberate Michigan. These lockdowns are too much. He's not out here doing much to help people wear masks. And I know we can have a conversation about the efficacy of masks, but it's certainly true at the time that he did nothing to encourage their use. He downplayed it when he knew how bad it was going to be. He interrupted the public health messaging at almost every turn. I mean, it is certainly true. You know, the death rate in America from COVID was the worst in the Western world. It was almost twice what it was in Canada. And there are many reasons for that. But I think it's pretty easy to conclude that the federal response to COVID was hampered by the presence of Donald Trump, and that resulted in excess deaths that other countries did not experience.
And Tom, you know, so Ian explains this. I didn't say that. Ian says it, but I understand how Ian came to that conclusion, like many others did. If a president tells kids, don't look both ways before you cross the street, and that is a big thing that he's promoting, and kids start getting hit by cars, it's not that, you know, you say, well, where does it say that the president was responsible for the kids' deaths? But from the information that you have, you can conclude that the president had something to do with the deaths of people. And so I understand, I didn't say it, but I understand how people came to that decision that Donald Trump was responsible for some of the COVID deaths.
To say nothing of the abject inanity and cruelty of making states outbid each other for PPE, personal protective equipment, for the ventilators and the gloves and the masks and the surgical gowns and all these things that are suddenly people are running short on. And he's being pretty explicit, saying, I'm not going to deliver that material unless people come and kiss my ring. So Jay Inslee in Washington, you and I don't get along, so you're not going to get the PPE. People in Texas, people in Alabama and other Florida, we're going to make sure you get what you need. But those blue states, I'm not going to make it as easy for you to get the help that you need from the federal government. Actually happened.
And there are people who are going to conclude that women, if abortion rights continue to diminish, there are going to be people who are going to conclude that anybody involved in diminishing abortion rights is going to be responsible for the deaths of women who die as a result of not having access to a doctor who might be able to do an abortion to save somebody's life.
The last thing I'll say about it, and we can move on. Imagine that in February, early March of 2020, Donald Trump had said, we are in for some serious trouble. I need everybody to be calm and work together and help each other out, and we will get through this. We're going to be really challenged, but we can come together as Americans and pull off a really impressive feat here. Instead, he said, it's all going to disappear. Like a miracle, it will disappear. It'll go away on its own. Imagine if he had said the former thing that I suggested that other world leaders did. Instead, we got, it's all going to go away on its own. It's going to be a miracle.
And it was conventional wisdom that Donald Trump downplayed this because of the election. Let's go to Roy in Nahoma. Roy, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. I'm going to change the subject just a little bit. But when I took my oath of office, when I got drafted, it said clearly, I will defend the Constitution of the United States. I hate to bust everybody's bubble. We're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic.
Okay.
Now, with that being said, I'm just an average middle-class American. I didn't vote for Harris because of the economic policies. $25,000 giveaway. Where's the money coming from? And guess what? My house just went up $25,000 if she's going to give the people that money. That's capitalism. Number two, tax on unrealized gains. It's ridiculous. Don't have the money in my pocket yet. How can I pay taxes on something I don't have and exists only on paper? I can't deduct an unrealized loss. Third point, corporations. You're right. They don't pay enough taxes. They don't pay any taxes. You and I pay taxes when we buy the things that they make. If they drop taxes, they're not going to drop the money, give it to shareholders. If you raise it, they'll just raise the cost of goods
to us. That's right.
People under 40 don't get it. And I wish I could make more young people understand that.
You know, Roy, you're right. And there's, you know, there were a lot of promises that are going to have to be paid for, and we're not sure how those things are going to be paid for. Again, it's real easy to make a promise on the campaign trail. I don't care which side you're on. But we warned this during the campaign. Don't be so quick to buy into these promises. Vote for the person you think is the best person, but don't expect all these promises to be fulfilled. And the cost of deporting people, I know that's a big issue in this country. And the border is a big issue, and it should be a big issue. But the cost of deporting people is almost prohibitive. So, you know, we'll see how all of this transpires. All right, if you're on hold, stay with us. We'll take a quick break. We're coming right back with more of your comments. And still to come in the next hour, we've got to talk about the number of Falcon fans that are going to be in town. And I'm sure a lot of Saints fans have sold their tickets, and Falcons fans show up in big numbers anyway. But they're going to be even more now because the Falcons are leading the division. They're winning. They're probably going to kick the Saints' ass Sunday. I hope not, man. I hope Rizzi does an awesome job in inspiring the Saints that we kick the Falcons' ass, and we can do it, and it may happen. And, man, that dome will erupt if we beat them. But there'll be a lot of Falcons fans in town. We'll talk about the reality of your kids being exposed to Falcon fans in public. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. This is Connie Francis. It's a soundtrack from a movie, Where the Boys Are, and it was about spring break in Fort Lauderdale, and it was about young people in hotel rooms and having sex, and it was, in the 1960s, this was a really racy movie. On this day in 1974, Connie Francis was attacked at her Howard Johnson's hotel room. She was raped at knife point. And she didn't perform for 7 years, but 2 years after this happened, she was awarded more than $2 million in her lawsuit against the hotel chain. I mean, who did that? Was it random or was it a fan? And how could a fan ever do that to somebody that he really cared about? But really, a sad, sad story and a traumatic moment in Connie Francis's life. It was one of the big female stars of the 60s. I'm Scoot on the air. It's a Free for All Friday. We'll talk about the Saints and the Falcons and LSU and Alabama coming up more in the next hour. But we've got a few calls to get to. And then I want to ask you this question. A lot of people are crediting Elon Musk's involvement in Trump's campaign for his victory. Elon Musk essentially bought Twitter, turned it into X. But he bought this social platform to use to promote Donald Trump. Should he have been able to do that? Was it right for him to use his social media platform to help Trump get elected? What's the answer to that question? Oh, we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. Let's go to Joe in Metairie. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, Scoot, I want to direct this at that Mr. Dan, who was on the radio with you a little while ago,
okay,
the black man, and just tell him it's so nice to hear somebody talk with common sense, black or white. It's just, it's unbelievable. He knew that Kamala was a bad candidate. 70% of the country said we're going in the wrong direction. So it was a referendum on Biden and Harris administration. It was simple as that.
Yeah, I said she was a bad candidate.
Why
don't you tell me I have common sense? I said she was a bad candidate.
Well, if you said that, you got common sense too, Scoot.
Okay, but Joe, you know, I say things that, you know, people like you don't hear. You know, you've got selective hearing. You only hear what you want to hear. I say a lot of things that really are contrary to what you think of me, and you don't hear those things because it's not what you want to think of me.
Well, let me say, I do hear some. You're 50-50 because I heard you say the other day you really thought that Joe Rogan interview with Trump went real well, and you talk very nice about Trump. But most of the time, it's all negative.
Well, it's not that it's negative. I'm just telling you what's going on, and I'm telling you the truth. And I'm being honest about things that I think, just like you're honest about what you think. I'm just being honest about what I think and what I see in the world, in politics.
Well, what I'm saying, you know, I understand the Democrats, they're in a bad way right now.
They are.
Just,
They're in a terrible way right now, and they don't know who they are.
But did you ever see? Did you happen to see James Carville last night on the news?
No, I didn't see.
I mean,
that.
there's a grown man acting like a complete fool. He had a bag of Doritos stuffing in his face.
Well,
sticking
you know,
handfuls of Doritos in his mouth because Kamala liked Doritos.
Well, James Carville is a type. In fact, have you heard the promotion that we have? We're talking about this big thing going on in Bay St. Louis, and they're going to have an alien costume contest for the person that looks most like an alien. And I think James Carville lives in Bay St. Louis. I'm thinking, what if he's just walking by and they go, "Hey, we have a winner." He kind of looks like an alien. But he's a smart guy, a very smart guy. Some people don't like the way I look. All right, let's go to Charles in Baton Rouge. Hey, Charles, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hey, Scoop, glad to talk to you again. A couple of things. A number of you, having listened to you for a while, trying to sort out what's going on with, you know, various voters. Many.
Did we lose you, Charles? Sounds like we lost Charles. Let's go to James on the North Shore. Charles, call us back, and we'll get you right on. Hey, James.
Hey, Scoot, man. Thanks for having me on today, buddy. I was with most of those people who didn't watch the mainstream media election night. I started to watch it till around 9 o'clock, and then it started feeling like 2016 all over again with all the long faces.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's no way I'm going to sit here and watch this all night. So I went to my DVR where I had Ken Burns' American Buffalo recorded. And I started watching that. And I tell you, man, that really puts you in perspective. When you see what the Native American, the first peoples went through, with everything that happened with the buffalo and the white man coming.
Yeah.
And it gave me a sense of peace. You know, I said, I'm not going to cry for my flesh. I'm going to turn to my Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit. You know, I do have concerns about Trump having all this power now because, like in other places like Saudi Arabia, the Philippines, at times in the past where people got power, they were able to go after their opposition. He'll have that power now because he's not going to be restrained. Anything he does will be part of his duties as president.
Right.
We had a host on this station last week. I texted him about divisiveness, and I said, saying that, you know, a bunch of people in America are enemies of the, you know, state, and rounding them up seems like a bad thing. And he came back on with a response saying that, well, there is some people in America who need to be, you know, it was on there. He's, you know, the way he said it, it was like, oh my God. I mean, they really believe this. There's people in our local area and in government and are associated with government who do believe that there's people who need to be rounded up. But I'm just going to stay in my spirit. No matter what happens, that's not going to break me from this. I will keep happiness around me. I wish I could go away on a trip for 4 years or even if you put me in a coma. But no, it's not it. We're here.
You know, if you went away, if you were in a coma for 4 years, you may wake up in four years and the country's going to be pretty much the same, I hope.
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm going to stick to reading the Psalms 18 and Psalms 109 and a bunch of other Psalms that really bring you, if anyone's out there right now in a hard place, please turn to the Bible and read the Psalms and all that, and you'll find so much comfort in that. And like North Carolina, I'll tell you one thing, if I could, I would, and I'm trying, I got family in North Carolina, because look in Louisiana right now, we have the governor who's talking about taxing landscapers for some reason and car washes and to help fill the budget gap they're going to have when they do these cuts. Landscapers? You know how many landscapers are Trump supporters and Landry supporters? Why go after them? Man, leave the landscapers alone. Thanks for having me.
All right, James.
Man, love you, buddy.
Have a good weekend. Find peace within yourself. And a lot of people find peace in the Bible. If you're on hold, stay with us. More of your calls coming up. We'll also get to some of your text messages. So Jeff Landry, our governor, appears to be on the short list for Donald Trump's U.S. Attorney General. That's the guy who is the top attorney for the United States of America. he's not going to be fair. He's going to be an attorney for the Trump administration, not for America. One of the problems that I have with Jeff Landry is when he was our attorney general in Louisiana, he did things that defied the Constitution. Jeff Landry is like a lot of right-wing radicals, and I consider Landry to be a right-wing radical. He stands for certain things that people applaud and love because they agree. But once you ignore the Constitution, that opens the door for others to come in who totally disagree with you and do some things that you don't agree with. And so this is a scary, scary time. Donald Trump and his attorney general need to respect the Constitution, even if they want to do some things that are unconstitutional. They should not be allowed to do those things. The problem is the last stop when it comes to things that are constitutional is the Supreme Court. And there's a question now with the Supreme Court dominated by Republicans. There's a question about whether or not the Supreme Court is really going to uphold the U.S. Constitution, something that has been the foundation of this country for so many years. Is that going to go away? I certainly hope it doesn't go away. This is what we have used to maintain this country. And it cannot be ignored, not by Jeff Landry or Donald Trump or anybody. The freedom that I have on this radio show is a freedom that every one of you should respect. Because my freedom means that you have freedom. And we have the freedom in this country to say things that other people disagree with. If we lose that freedom, we become a fascist nation. The very idea of attacking political opponents or retaliating against political opponents, and we'll talk more about this in the next hour with Trump's, apparently his favorite for the post of commissioner of the FCC. We'll talk about that coming up. But if we lose our right to disagree in the media, then we have just basically ignored the Constitution. And we have lost one of the fundamental rights we have in this country. And that's a concern to every one of you, even all of those of you who voted for Donald Trump. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1971, Led Zeppelin released Led Zeppelin IV. Highest selling album. It included Black Dog, Rock and Roll, and Stairway to Heaven. All right, coming up, just a brief discussion. We'll have more talk about this next week, but I want to at least address the issue of Donald Trump and the FCC and his suggestion that he's going to retaliate against the media. He's going to retaliate against those people who had different opinions from him. What about Elon Musk? Elon Musk bought Twitter to help Trump, and a lot of people say that Elon Musk and X, used to be Twitter, is one of the reasons Trump won. So should Elon Musk have been able to do that? Well, if Elon Musk can do that, then why can't people use the media to express opinions against Trump? That's about freedom of speech. We'll talk about that coming up.